If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Bear witness. That's a beautiful thing. You may be seated. You know, we've been doing that for years. I believe it helps with the force field that God puts over here when we're in here worshiping, because there's one thing the devil can't do anything with, and that's the Word of God. And when a church gets together, that's the thing that needs to be used for the authority, right? So that's what we're going to use. You think about a children's sermon, understand, you can try to teach a child something for an hour, but if you show them a picture, they'll grab onto it. We're sort of like that, aren't we? Now today I want to talk about cookies. No, not really cookies. I want to talk about the different things that make up a cookie. And you'll understand what I'm saying. Today we're celebrating a church anniversary. We realize that God's allowed us to be here, and we realize that we're what's called a church body. That means a living, functioning, breathing, walking, talking thing, a body. If you open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 2, you'll see how the first church body was formed. You'll see how it came to be. And I think we need to look here for our example to see what God's intentions were, to see what they still are, and to see how we fit into His plan. And, you know, we get caught up sometimes in just coming to church or being at church or part of church. And there are some people that say, well, I don't really have to be at a church or come to church to worship. I can worship just as well at home. We want to see what the Bible says about those things. And at the same time, there's an overwhelming praise that we're going to have today for God letting us be able to come together and worship as a body. And so the first question that I would pose to you is being a part of a church body really important? Yeah. Like, do we have to be? I mean, why are we even celebrating us coming together? So as we read the book of Acts, we're going to understand that God's allowed us to see a lot of amazing things here. We were able to be a church body that grew from just a handful of people to having to have some services to different times to get people in. We ran out of building, and we've seen souls saved. We've seen people baptized. We've seen marriages restored. And notice I'm saying we've seen this. We've seen this. We haven't done this. We've seen God do it. Amen. Today, when we read about this church, understand that several weeks ago on a Sunday evening, I'd been studying. I couldn't even hold back, and God changed what I was going to preach. We spoke a little bit about Acts 2. We spoke a little bit about this first church that formed. It's because it's our prototype. It's our model. It's a bunch of people that came together and made something for God, but you won't see any names of that church register in your Bible. You won't see any big people in the church. You'll just see that they accomplished some mighty great things. And in order to praise God and begin with a praise, you know, I would like to ask you if you've come to this church or since the church has been here, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior since you began to come to church here through the message or a ministry, would you please stand at this time? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Stay standing. Stay standing. If sometime during the time that God's allowed you to be a part of this, if you've rededicated your life and you've come closer to God, you've rededicated your life and He spoke to you through some service or some ministry here, would you please stand? Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. See, God has a purpose for the body. And the purpose is not for you to glorify the body as a whole. The purpose is to glorify Him. And in turn, when we glorify Him, what He does is He comes back and He strengthens the body parts. So I want you to see that today. We're going to talk about body parts today. You say, oh, that's really not even a nice subject. Body parts, right? Body parts. Say it with me.
Body parts.
Body parts. Acts chapter 2, there's a lot of body parts that came together. Here's what happened. In the beginning of Acts chapter 2, Jesus had ascended back to heaven. And he had told the disciples, when I go, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, because you're a believer, it's going to indwell you. And when it indwells you, then you're going to feel the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be able to see amazing things. You're going to be able to feel my peace. You're going to be able to be confident and have boldness. And sure enough, they went up in a room, they assembled, and the Holy Spirit came into that place. And when those people came out of that room, well, it was a time of year. It was Pentecost. That means that they were gathered together in Jerusalem for a feast. And as they were gathered together, those people came out of the room. And when they came out of the room, they were praising God and glorifying God. And everybody was on fire. And they began to speak and shout, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. All these different things. But everybody that was assembled there was from everywhere, all different countries. They spoke all different languages. But the amazing thing is, when they came out and started speaking, they spoke in a language that everybody else could understand. Now, they didn't mean to. It was not a gibberish. They did not, it was not, as I've said before, it was not jabba-da-da-ba-da. It was something somebody else could understand. It was something that was audibly understood, even though it was everybody else's language. You say, how could that be? We don't understand, but we know with God all things are possible, right? So understand, that was the revealing of the Holy Spirit that something like this could happen. Well, that was the talk. When that started happening, people began to wonder what is going on, and Peter used that as a platform, and Peter stood up and preached probably the most dynamic sermon you have ever heard. And he preached one subject, Jesus Christ. He said, this Jesus that you crucified, that was buried, and that rose again, this same Jesus is Savior and Lord. And you need to understand you're a sinner separated from God without Him. What you need to do today is repent and admit that you're a sinner. Ask Jesus to be your Savior by believing in Him. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Come into your heart and you will be saved. That's what Peter preached. So you say, how'd that go over? Well, 3,000 people were saved that day. That's when the first church began. So let me read Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 47. And with many other words that he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That means this corrupt generation. Then they that gladly received his word and were baptized, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. Hey, that's interesting. Let's mark these two words. All that believed what? Together. Were what?
Together.
Let's say it together. Were what?
Together.
Together. And they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, nowhere in there does it say that Peter, after finishing his degree in seminary, he began to do demographic studies to see the best place to be able to start a church. Then he assembled the direction of his ministry to appeal to the most populous people so they could come in and create this church. Did you read that anywhere in there? He preached Jesus Christ. And when he did, God did the rest. And people were saved. And after they were saved, something miraculous happened. They came together. And they became a church. And it said they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine. That means they kept coming and saying, teach me. I want to learn. I want to grow. Preach the word of God to me. Oh, listen, I learned something new about the Lord. Isn't this great? Hey, this helps me. This gives me strength. It says they continued in fellowship. That means they didn't just see each other when they came together. They were actually communicating with each other. Even though we know they were different, you can't assemble 10 people that like all the same things, right? But they had one thing in common. They had Jesus. Then it says they continued in breaking bread. They ate together, right? When you eat together, Like I've said before, it's something about it, right? You eat, you sit, you talk. They had fellowship. They broke bread together. That's what God wants us to do also. We're going to try to do all these things today. And then they prayed together. I tell you, that's a powerful thing, praying together. That unites you when you pray together. I've told husbands and wives as they've been in my office before, I said, you know the most powerful thing you can do for your marriage? Grab your wife's hand. Let her hear you pray to God the Father for everything you want in that marriage. It's going to be very hard for her to question any direction you're choosing if she knows you're going to God and talking to Him. And wife, as you grab and your husband hears, grab his hand as he hears you pray, well, that's the greatest amount of trust. Hey, my wife's talking to God. What do I need to think about, right? It's huge. When a church body comes together and prays together, it's power. So they did all these things together. And they became the first church body. From this church body, every other church body has come. That's amazing. Now, this wonderful day that we have today, we celebrate the anniversary of our church body. And if you've been coming to worship with this body or involved in any of the ministries that God's allowed this church body to take part in, then you ready for this? You're a body part. You say, well, please give us a little bit more glamorous name. I wish I could. But the Bible tells me that, hey, you're a body part. Well, I want to be a good body part if I'm going to be a body part, right? I can tell you about what kind of body part so-and-so is, right? No, you better not, right? Your body part. Thing is, the body needs all its parts, doesn't it? Now, at a time like this, whether it be homecoming or anniversary, we don't celebrate anything that we've done. We celebrate everything that we've seen God do. We celebrate that He's formed a church body and the body's been able to function in our community, but we can't forget that it's God who gives the body opportunities to function for Him. And it's God that actually lets the body function. And it's God who's responsible for all the wonderful things that we've seen throughout the years. And it's God who's given the opportunity to function as part of this body. You see, I'm not the body. You're not the body. What we need to realize, and this will help us realize who we really are, when we see who we really are as a body part, you'll praise Him more for today. You say, well, I'm glad you're happy that it's your anniversary. Well, no, we're celebrating that God's given us a body to be a part of. Now, when everybody accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and is saved, you are part of the church. So you're part of that great big body. But do you know that God is specific in telling us that as a part of all the church, that's those that are saved, He makes little unique congregations and assemblies that are called church bodies. And that's what you're in today, a church body. And those church bodies are, well, they're very important. If you look through the New Testament, most of the New Testament is written by a man named Paul who went around starting church bodies. And from those church bodies, other church bodies were started because you can't have everybody in one place. I've got Christian brothers and sisters in the Philippines, but I can't worship with them. In Zambia, Africa, or let's say even Winston-Salem, and they're there. Let's say the other side of town. So which church body should you go to? Well, listen, I hope there's great church bodies everywhere. We're not competing. I don't ever want to be somebody that thinks, okay, well, we're better than this church. I want there to be great churches across town. I want people to be saved everywhere. I want marriages to be restored. I want people to be strong. There needs to be great churches everywhere. But if you're in a certain body, and God's called you to that body to be a part of it, then you have a function in that body. The same way that the body across the town has body parts and people are functioning as part of those bodies. Now, here's one truth I want to give to you. Body parts can't do anything until they come together to function as a body. Amen. I could take my arm off here. Wouldn't be pretty. Lay it on this pulpit up here. There is no way that it can do what it can do attached to me, right? Need that part right there attached to me, right? Have my eyes here, and my eyes need to work together with my arm, and my eyes need to work together with my legs and my mind and my feet. So when my eyes see fire, then my feet know run, right? If those body parts aren't connected to the body, well, the whole body is not going to prosper. So body parts can't do anything until they come together to function as a body. What's a great example? Cookies. It seems simple, but, I mean, how was that mouthful of salt? More salt than that went in those cookies. So it's amazing that once those parts come together, you need it. If you would have eaten those cookies without that salt, they would not have been good. So understand, all those parts function together. The purpose of any church body is for those body parts to come together and function as a living body that sees and hears and walks and talks and lifts and carries everything that God gives them so that the body can glorify God. From the beginning of this church, we've had one thing that I wanted to drill into your minds, because I have to continually think about this. The purpose of this church is what, church? To glorify God. Always to glorify God, not us, but to glorify God in everything that it does. And if that body continues to function and those body parts work together, the body will become stronger and it'll grow into a mature body that works to accomplish the mission that God intends for that body to accomplish. He has a mission for us. Do you know that? He has a mission for us that's unique from any other body. And He assembled the parts in a fashion, in an order, and joined them together because He knows your part is needed to make this body work. So, question: how does the church body work? How do we become a part of it? Well, understand, there are some people that say, I can worship God just as good at home. How many people have ever heard somebody say that? I don't need to be a part of a body to worship. And I will agree with you, you do not need to be a part of a body of Christ to worship. But the first statement, well, that's false. You cannot worship God as good when you're disconnected from a body. Do you know why? You were designed to be a part of a body. The body can't work as good, and you as a body part can't function as good unless you are part of that body. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want God's word to prove it today to you. So the first thing that we have to realize, and the first thing that has to happen for us to become even a body part, is that we have to join ourselves with Jesus. Because it's the body of Christ. You say, what do you mean the body of Christ? We're going to say that several times. The body of Christ is something that rolls off our tongue. It's a church word. Well, we're a part of the body of Christ. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived 33 years. He did all these miracles. He preached these dynamic sermons. He healed people. He did these miraculous things. He was framed. He was lied about. He was crucified. He was tortured. He was mocked. He never sinned in those 33 years. He was put on a cross. He died willingly for me and for you. He was buried. He rose again. After He rose again, He ascended into heaven. And He sits on the right hand of God the Father. That's what He did. With all that being said, where is Jesus? He is sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Jesus, physical Jesus, is not walking on this earth anymore. So, what God said is this. You. Hey, you. I need Jesus walking on this earth. I need the body of Christ on this earth. I'm going to give you something called the Holy Spirit. When you believe in me and get saved, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, well, it represents me. It's going to tell you what Jesus would say. It's going to show you how He would think. It's going to motivate you to do what He would do. And your job is to be the body of Christ, the physical body of Christ, walking in this earth. But here's the thing, Mike. You're just flour. And here's the thing, Blake, you're just salt. And here's the thing, Don, you're just milk. You can't be that body until you're joined together. So God joins us together and puts us into something that we can be the body of Christ, working, doing. representing the physical Jesus is down here. You say, well, I think that's pretty vain and arrogant. Why do you think he calls us the body of Christ? You see, we have to be joined with him to be a body part. When we're joined with him, the Bible says it this way, and I love it because Paul even equates it to a marriage. He was talking about marriage in Romans 7, and he says this in verse 4. He says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him. What do you mean? Married to Jesus? That's the way he says this relationship is. Married to him who is raised from the dead? Who do you think he's talking about? When I accept the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, I become joined with him, put into him. That's why we get baptized. We're put into him, right? Amen. Put into Jesus? Married to Jesus? Well, I've never heard that. Well, maybe you've heard what he calls us. He calls us the bride of Christ. So he tells us that covenant, that joining with him, that's a marriage between us and Jesus. We become a body part. And after we join ourselves to Jesus by accepting who he is and confessing to him that we're lost without him and committing ourselves to serve him, then we become a body part. You say, oh, it's got to be better than that. No, it's a body part. But the body part can't do anything unless it's connected to the body. So the first part is joining. Not joining the church, joining Jesus. You see, there's a lot of people that, well, they can't function as a body part. And if they're not functioning as a body part, then they're not making up the body. You say, well, all you have to do is know there's a God to be a body part. That's not right. Well, does coming to church make you a body part? It doesn't. Does learning what you need to learn in a class and being able to pass a test, does that make you a body part? It doesn't. I'm sorry. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then and only then you shall be saved. Amen. They said it's a believing thing. God said, hey, it's a believing thing. You have to trust me. You have to accept me. Then you become part of me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's an amazing passage of Scripture that talks about the church body. And it, in essence, this whole passage of Scripture, it paints a picture. It says we're tied together. Sort of like that mixing bowl when you mix up the flour and the egg and the milk and the salt and the sugar. We're tied together. Those things begin to tie together. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pretty interesting. Good reading. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Did you hear that? If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, our answer is, of course not. It's still part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the seeing? But now hath God set the members, every one to them, in a body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? What is he trying to show us? Hey, we're just body parts. Now together, we're what? A body. Body of who? Body of Christ. Separately, we're what? But you can't be a body unless you have body parts. And so we need to get to there. We need to realize that we have to accept him to be a body part. And then we have to be connected to the body or joined to the body to be a functioning part. Well, in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12, this statement is made. It says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And I love this. Members in particular means each one of you has a part of it. You see, as body parts, everybody has a specific thing they do. And I've heard people say before, well, you know, there's nothing really that I can bring. There's nothing that I can do. You know I could come and I could do this, but there's nothing that I could do. And I would have to tell you that either God is wrong or you are wrong. I'm going to go with God being right, okay? God's not wrong. He designed you specifically to have some talent, some kind of gift that He's given you to help the body. So God said you're to be body parts, but you're supposed to work together. So as we see this, you may ask, how do I become a body part? Well, I'm called to remember a letter that Paul wrote to another church in Rome. In Romans 12, you may know the scripture, but in Romans 12, Paul began by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, which means I beg you. He's saying, listen to me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, you've heard that before. But what did he say you had to do? Well, basically, he is saying that if you want to be a body part, you need to give up your body to do it. Did you hear that? You need to give up something to be a body part. You can't be a body part and still have everything working for your separate body. Now, whether it's time, whether it's attention, whether it's dedication, no matter what it is, God's asking you to give it up. But what does He expect you to give up? He expects you to give up yourself. You're supposed to go to God and say, I am not anything of myself. I'm lost without you. So in order to be a body part, you have to give up yourself and then be willing to say, I will serve you. When you say you'll serve somebody, what are you saying? Whatever you want is more important than what I want. That's hard to say, isn't it? We've got that little selfish thing inside of us. See if you can say it. God, whatever you want is more important than what I want. Doesn't really roll off your tongue, does it? No. We got something working against us inside, don't we? I'm more apt to say, God, you know what I want? I want it to be what you want. I'm going to consider it an answered prayer if you give me what I want. My will be done. Don't we end up praying like that? After we join ourselves to Him, you know, the first thing that has to happen for this body part is we have to join with Jesus. But after we join ourselves to Him, Paul continues to speak in this 12th chapter of Romans, and he says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what is he trying to say? He's saying, hold on, cowboy. I told you that you were a body part, but you think you're a little bit more than you are. The body part functions best when you're just a part, but you don't think you're a special part. Now, God's going to tell you you're special, but you don't need to tell anybody else you're special. And you don't need to act like you're more special than somebody else. And you don't need to think that the body can't work without you. Now, God designed you to be a part of that body, and the body's going to work best with you. But if you continually say, I'm not going to work with this body, then God will move somebody into your place to work in that body so it can function. So as we read Romans 12, we see that our part is important. It's important. But we can't think of ourselves more important than somebody else. Now, he goes on in verses 4 and 5 to say, for we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Do you hear what he's saying? The body parts have to come together. Hundreds of people that are here today. Early service, this service. Everybody has an opportunity to be a part of a body. If those parts never come together, there is no body. Remember what we read in Acts 2:44? It says, and all believed. All that believed, listen to this, were together. Do you remember saying that? Let's say it again. We're together. Understand, it wasn't a mistake he used this wording. Acts 2:46, it says, they continued daily with one accord in singleness of heart. They were together. Now, did they all agree on the color of carpet? I'm sure they didn't. Did they all agree on the little things? I'm sure they didn't. But they had one thing in common. That's what made them the body. They had Christ in common. They were in singleness of heart. They had one plan. It was a team plan, right? Coach, if this is what you need me to do, this is what I'll be willing to do for the good of the team. Why? Because it's Team Jesus, right? So we go from there and we see that they were together, but all these things show us that a church body can only function if the body parts come together and work as one body. See, first God calls us as a body part, then He calls us as a part to come together and make a church body. And we can't even go to the church body issue until we get to the body part issue. You said that if you're saved, you're a believer, you are a what? You're a body part. Now, when those body parts come together, they make what? They make the body. So that's elementary. We know that. Back in the day, you know when I say back in the day, that means some of you are not going to realize what I'm going to say, but ones that do, please help me out so I'm not standing up here just remembering myself back in the day. Back in the day, the Beatles, does that help? Back in the day, the Beatles sang a song called Come Together. Anybody remember hearing that song? Now, I'm not here to endorse the Beatles or that song, or particularly this song. It's pretty got some pretty random phrases in it. But there's a repeated phrase in this thing that says, come together right now over me. Come together right now over me. Come together right now over me. Does anybody remember that? Now, what I'm here to tell you is, I know that was written in their lyrics, but that's exactly what God is trying to tell us. That is, God is saying, come together and have me in common. Come together and have me in common. Come together right now and have me in common. He calls us to be a body. But the parts can't be a body until they come together. In Acts chapter 2, we saw they did all these things together. What does He call us to do? He calls us to come together and praise Him, doesn't He? He calls us to come together and worship Him. He calls us to come together and learn more about Him. He calls us to come together and grow stronger. He calls us to come together and serve Him. And He calls us to come together and minister to other people. And He calls us to come together and to pray to Him. He calls us to come together in fellowship. I'm describing church body things, right? He calls us to come together and care for each other's family. What? He does. Do you know that God called me into this church body to help you care for your family? He absolutely did. And do you know that He called you into this body to help you care for my family? You say, what? Hey, listen, let me tell you something about preacher's kids. All right? Preacher's kids aren't perfect. As a matter of fact, I would have never known this, but I'm under the influence that the devil's twice as busy with them, because if he can do something with them, he's going to distract the preacher. Do you realize that? So, I need you to help me. What do you mean? They listen to my voice all the time. They come into this room and they hear me. Guess what? It's the same voice that's told them a million other things to do. You know how good it is when they hear somebody else's voice love on them and tell them something, or if they have somebody else to look to be able to aspire to besides Dad? Well, I'm going to do my part, I'm going to assure you. But you're here to help my children. I'm here to help your children. Guess what? You're here to help her children, and she's here to help your children. Read the book of Titus. It tells us that young women, you're here to look at the women that are married, that have had successful, godly marriages, because they're to help you. Men, you're here to pick up a young man and say, listen, I want to show you something. Women, you're here to say, hey, young lady, that's really not appropriate. You're here to say, hey, young man, let me show you this. And then you're here to listen to somebody that's an old saint of God say, listen, hey, you're going down the wrong track. Those things won't really matter in your life, son. You see, God puts us together in a body so that we can all function together in a body. And we need each other. The parts need each other. You need somebody to be able to minister to your child. Amen. Because if not, it's just something that they come home and hear you saying, it's not reinforced. The things they hear at school, the things they hear in the world, they're going to be reinforced, I will guarantee you. But the things that you're teaching them, the godly things in your home, they need to be reinforced by other people that are saying the same things, or they're going to come to the conclusion, oh, this is just mom and dad's thing. Do you understand? That's why the church is important, even in the family model. So understand, the Bible tells us we're supposed to come together for all kinds of reasons. You know, God stresses the word together in the Bible when he speaks to believers. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we're all laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. That means you're God's field. It says you're God's building. And in Deuteronomy 31, you go back to the Old Testament sometime and read. God spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, here's what I want you to say. He was commanded to give this order. Gather the people together. Now, when I say together, I want you to say together with me. You're going to see how it is in the Bible. The first thing we said is, for we're all laborers together. And Moses commanded the people. He said, gather the people together. Men and women and children and strangers that's within thy gates, that they can hear and they can learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of his law. Philippians 1:27. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am also in the midst. Amen. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, comfort yourselves together. Amen. And edify one another. That means build up one another. Do you see how many things he's telling us as a church body to do together? And Hebrews 10. 24 and 25. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He's saying, let us consider. Think about somebody else to encourage them to love and to good works. Here's how. Listen, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what he tells us we need to do? Not just come together in our thinking, physically come together. Don't forsake, do not, is what he says. Forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We're supposed to come together in a church body in times of worship to sing together, to pray together, to fellowship together, to learn together. He says, you want to get weak, you want to fail? Forsake assembling yourselves together. I guess, testify to this, and I'm not going to have everybody else stand up and testify to it, but I can tell you in my life, every time that I've fallen away from God, it started with me forsaking the assembling of myself together with God's church body. And when that happens, my body part is not functioning. I become weak. You say, well, preacher, you preach more about coming to church than anybody that I know preaches about being faithful and coming to church. Well, I hope you can see why. It's because I care about you and I love you. And I would rather you be able to see God's word in action in your life than to have to remind you of it at a very bad time. When he says exhort one another, that means to urge or advise strongly, to seek earnestly, to persuade. What does that mean? I think we need to come together because we get weak. The strongest person in here is not strong all the time. And we need each other. Amen. To urge, to hold each other accountable, to persuade, to see God's word, to be able to say, hey, what about this? And doesn't God's word say this? And where have you been? And we miss you. And listen, I care about you. And you need to get back together. Right. We need to be a church. We need to be a church body. And you can't be that part if you're not connected to the body. Paul goes on in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4. And I love the way that he talks about the way the church comes together. In verses 19 and 22, he says, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. And of the household of God, and you're built up on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone in whom all the building, listen, is fitly framed together. Now, I love that. If anybody here has ever built anything, you realize there's a foundation that goes in. On that foundation, you have to put something to receive the building that's going to go on that foundation. Whether it's mortar for some kind of cementitious thing or stone, or whether it's wood that has to be in there to receive other wood. And then you build from that and you go out. But guess what? When it's finished, it's a house, it's a building. What he's saying is every part of that building, he fitly frames together. That means he puts it in the right place. You don't have to put it in the right place. He puts it in the right place. It can either be a building for God, or it can be a stack of lumber and mortar sitting in a yard. Who wants to live in a stack of mortar and lumber? Well, none of us do. We want to live in a building, right? God's building is fitly framed. I don't have to know everything about, you're going to be best here and you're going to be best here. I'm not framing this thing. I'm watching it be built. Amen? Amen? And you are a part and I am a part. And God will put us where we need to be if we're willing to be body parts, right? He goes on in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, the body is explained to us that we're told that we're one body. We come together as parts. He says there's one body, one spirit, one hope. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one God. And he tells us that every one of us are given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. And he goes on to say something interesting in Ephesians 4, verse 16. He says, the body parts are fitly joined together. That's the same thing as fitly framed. That means God puts every part in place, but here's the thing that you bring to the table. You have to be willing to be a body part that's used. That falls on us, doesn't it? And then he goes on to say that, well, this body can only function if Christ is the head of the body. The head of the body. What does the head of the body do? The head of the body gives directions, right? My face itched, right? My hand scratched it. My face itched, my hand scratched it because my face itched and my mind thought, hey, what's the best way to do that? Let's use this hand. So my hand reached up and done that. All that was happening right there, right? Why? Under the direction of my head. Everything that happens in this church has to be under the direction of the head, which is Jesus Christ. It's not under the direction of men and women. It's under the direction of men and women as body parts taking direction from the head. Take the head out of it, you don't have a functioning body. That's what he's trying to tell us. You say, well, okay, we got it. We're body parts. We're body parts come together to be one body. We are. Still not convinced. Let me tell you about God's plan for us to be together. It's not just here in this earth. He gives you a chance. You might be one of those people that say, well, listen, I operate best alone. You know what? I do this. I'm not good with people. I don't want to be involved in stuff like this. And listen, understand, you need to get used to being a part of a body. God designed you to be that way. Well, what do you mean? Well, he's put us together. Ever since we accept Jesus and believe in him, he said you're going to be together. You're together as a church body. Hey, here's something else. Jesus preached the message in Matthew 24. He said, and you shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpets. They shall gather together, there's our word again, his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the heaven, one end of heaven to the other. 1 Thessalonians 4. Maybe you've heard this before, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together. Not only do we live as a church body on this earth, we're going to leave this earth together. And then if you go to Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, after we leave this earth, the whole two chapters are about us worshiping God in heaven around the throne. How do you guess? Together. And if you go to Revelation 21, you're going to read the end of the story where God makes a new heaven, a new earth, and he's going to put all the body there together. His plan is for us to be together. If we can't get it right on this earth, we're going to struggle in heaven. And if you're somebody that says, I'm not made to be together, you can't be looking forward to heaven. The plan is putting us together. With all that being said, if you've not accepted Jesus, well, today you can be a part. You're going to be a body part today. How do you do that? Well, you believe. You believe that you're lost without Him. You accept Him as your Savior. You ask Him to come into your heart. Forgive your sins. He'll make you a body part today. I don't know that it's this church body. There's good church bodies everywhere. If He leads you to this church body, that's great. But you'll become a part of the great big body. Then you'll need to choose a smaller body to be a part of. If you're a Christian today, you would really need to examine yourself as I have. Ask yourself this question. Are you being the body part that He expects you to be? Are you? Because that's all we are, is body parts. It would be a time for us to be able to praise Him for letting us be a part. But it would also be a time to commit ourselves to saying, God, You've let me be a body part. I need strength to be a better body part. I want this body to grow and be stronger. I want to see lives change, and I realize You use church bodies to do that, and I'm a part. I commit to be used of You. That just takes your earnest prayer. God will use you. So today, as we bow together, I want you to realize that you're a body part. I want you to realize God's got a plan for you. Only you will know if you are being the body part He wants you to be. We celebrate today because He's given us a body for this many years. We can't celebrate ourselves. We're just body parts. But we can celebrate the opportunity He gave us to be a body. So pray with me. Father God, I love You. I praise You. I thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for speaking through Your word today. I pray, God, that You would minister to each person here. I pray, God, that You would be able to show us the truths of Your word. If there's someone here that's never accepted Your Son as their Savior, I pray, God, today they would see their need to become part of You. Lord, today for Christians all over this room, Lord, sometimes we get caught up in doing our own thing. And Lord, today I pray that You show us ourselves as a body part, where we fit into the body that You formed. Lord, as prayers of strength are prayed for today, I just pray, God, that You would just take these prayers of recommitment, Lord. You would strengthen this church body. And we thank You, Lord, for just the opportunity to be a part of You. In Jesus' name, amen.